John used to pastor a church in Springs where I refer to as my Egypt. Now, we all have an Egypt in our life that we had to come out of. Well, Springs was my Egypt. And in a very low time in my life, I met John. And through a word he gave me, certainly helped put me back on the straight and narrow. He had the wonderful privilege of pastoring my grandmother and my brother, leading my brother to the Lord. And we've had 30 years of friendship. He's a member at Glenridge, and we're good friends, and he loves Jesus with all his heart. He's been heading up the theological school across South Africa up until recently, and he's just a wonderful man of God. John, I love you, and bless you as you share with us.
Amen. Right, it's really good to be here tonight, and I'm trying to pick up what's happening here. Where's the young lady with the boots on who's saying just now? Could you come out here, please? Let's come out here, the girl with the young lady. I'm going to minister to her, but then it's for everyone. Yeah, really, let's just pray for her now. We're just going to pray for you, and we want you to, because often this is what happens. What I want to do tonight is also make it formative and then instructive. So that we learn. Some of us have had the opportunity of mixing with characters that deposit into you so much stuff that you could run with it for 10 years. I carry within me messages I've heard since the first night I was saved. We've had an opportunity to listen and mix with some of the best in the world. Not all, but some. Outstanding guys. Amen. Okay, I'll tell you what. Be seated. We're just going to go to three passages, just very briefly. It's going to be a bit of a stop-start job. But the rest of you who are sensing, those that are mature in God, just if you've got something, you come up and share later. We're just going to flow in the things of God. John 14:17 says this. The Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 17. Jesus is speaking. He is speaking and he says this. He says that the Spirit of God will be with you and in you. So John 14, the last few verses, the last phrase of the 17th verse to the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John says, and he will be with you. He will dwell with you and will be in you. So the Spirit of God is with you and He's in you. And always be mindful of the fact that when you're in 12 14, chapter 14 of the Gospel of John, already from the 12th chapter until the 19th, 12 to 19 span only 6 days because of the importance of it. There's no one from antiquity, not anyone from antiquity, with as well documented account of incidents, happenings and events prior to his death than Jesus Christ. No one. Not Julius Caesar or anyone. God's not playing games. This is the greatest document ever compiled, ever put together. There's nothing near it. If there's any problems, it's not in here. Where is it? Yeah. If there's any problems, it's not in here. It's here. Here's the limitation. The limitation is here. So that 17th verse, Jesus is speaking, and it's in a time that's leading up to his crucifixion. And he says, and the Spirit of God, he will dwell with you, and he shall be in you. Now, after the physical resurrection of Jesus. But let me just say something to you. Remember this, the person that was speaking about hell tonight, please understand this, that Jesus did go to hell, but never to suffer. Fundamentally different. This is fundamentally important. And he went to hell to do what? Lead captivity captive. So between his death and his resurrection, Jesus is doing things. Wayne Grudem says that Jesus never went to hell, he went to the grave. Well, that's nonsense. Of course his body went to the grave. But where'd the rest of him go? We have got a folk. Yeah. This is God's objective standard of truth for us in this journey ahead. And it has to be handled with great dexterity. I'm a Christian now 40 years by the grace of God. And I'm still grappling with this thing. Still glad. And I've preached the last book from 1:1 to 21:21. From 1:1, the last book is the book of Revelation, as some of you might know. From the first verse of the first chapter to the 22nd and to the last verse, which is the 21st. Exegetically. And it's a real test. And most preachers stay away from it. It's a real test. And please hear, Jesus did go to hell, but never to suffer. If we didn't have Luke 16, we wouldn't have a clue. We wouldn't have a clue. Remember, the beggar and Dives, the rich one. They go to the same geographic area, but not to the same places. And there's an inseparable gulf between the two. And Jesus said to the thief, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." And paradise was down, but after the cross, Paul later, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 from verse 4, gets caught up into paradise. Remember, into the third heaven. Okay. That's another thing. Chapter 14, verse 17 says that he will dwell with you and shall be in you. Then, in chapter 1 of the book of Acts, the word of God says from the fourth verse, it says, "And when they were come together, they said to him, 'Are you going to give, when are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel?' And he said to them, 'It's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for he shall come upon you.'" So with the Holy Spirit is with you, he's in you, and he'll come upon you. Never to leave you. The fundamental difference after the cross is that the Spirit comes to abide and never leave you. Right. Let's go and have a look now at this. Go to chapter 2, Acts chapter 2, just another few verses, and then we're just going to flow on and some other stuff. In Acts chapter 2, from verse 1, but the reason why this happens, who can tell me? Why does the day of Pentecost happen? Why could it happen? Why could the day of Pentecost happen? Go to John 7. As soon as you have Acts chapter 2, make a footnote. John 7, 37 to 39. Now John, in the seventh chapter of the Gospel of John, says this. It says this. "And Jesus stood up and said, 'If any man thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. As the scripture says, out of him.'" Now please understand, this, when Jesus is quoting, he's quoting from a construct that's a few verses put together in the book of Isaiah. And Jesus says it's out of him. And the him out of that John is referring to in the book of Isaiah is the Messiah. "And out of him shall flow rivers of living waters." Then John goes on to say, "Now the Spirit was not yet given because Christ was not yet glorified." So how come the Spirit could be given? In Acts chapter 2, because of that very thing. Christ had been glorified. So you make the footnote, John 7, 37 to 39, that the Holy Spirit was not yet given, and given in this sense to abide. Remember in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God would come upon certain people, come upon the judges, come upon this one, come upon that one, come upon even Saul, but never to abide permanently. But now, post the cross, the Holy Spirit comes and is given to you, never to leave you. Never to leave you. So So John says in the 7th chapter that the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Christ was not yet glorified. So Acts chapter 2 says this, when the day of Pentecost was more fully come, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole room where they were sitting, and there appeared to them tongues of forked fire which sat upon all of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak as the Spirit enabled them. Now verse 5 says, now they were dwelling in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard the sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. They were utterly amazed, and they asked, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each one of us hears them in his own native language? Parthian, Mede, Elamites, dwellers in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, that is proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own languages. Others were perplexed and asked, what does this mean? Some others said, no, these guys have had too much wine. But Peter stood up and said this. This is what the prophet Joel said in chapter 2 of the book of Joel from 28. This is what the prophet Joel had said. So what happens? The Spirit of God is poured out on the day of Pentecost, 50 days after His resurrection. God the Holy Spirit pours out His Spirit upon His people, because every single thing, every part of what Christ accomplished on the cross had now legally been ratified in the courts of heaven, justly and righteously, every single thing to break totally the power of sin over the crown of God's creation. And because that was a reality, the Spirit could be poured out. And please understand that even now in this year 2010, there's a constant ongoing attack around what the cross of Jesus Christ has accomplished. And I've said this dozens of times in different places, many, many times, that when Jesus speaks in the Gospel of John chapter 19 verse 30, when Jesus says, it is finished, you've heard the verb, that Greek verb is tetelestai. And it's written in the Greek perfect tense. It's written in the Greek perfect tense, tetelestai, it is finished. And what it means, Barnes, is this. Is that every single thing, everything that was needed to be done has been done. Everything, every single thing that was needed to accomplish whatever was holding you and keeping you under the realm of sin, destruction, degeneration, everything was broken, so that you could come into all that God's got for you in this life and in the next. Please listen, folk. It's an easy meeting tonight. We're just having fun. But what you must never forget about is that, remember, you're up against someone who's the head of a dark realm, and for him, there's no grace on either side of the cross. No salvation for him and his crowd. Just think of this. I said this, I think it was at Hendon's, or I was down the south coast or somewhere. I said, remember this, that the origin of evil and sin is who? In who? Has to be in Satan. Otherwise, what Christ has done at the cross doesn't fully deal with sin. Has to be. And we prove it out of the book of Matthew. Matthew 25:41, Jesus says that hell was made for who? Satan and his angels. Understand that. So evil, Sin has its origin through his disobedience in him. Jesus doesn't say that hell was made for the devil and his angels and this other, or the someone else who's actually outside of the universe, but we're going to drag him in. You see, philosophy has no answer here. No answers whatsoever to the origin of evil. But this here, remember, pick up this phrase. This is God's objective standard of truth. It's never changed. It's never changed. We're living in a time where many worldwide are saying there's no healing in the atonement. Key guys. In the 19th century, Rudolf Bultmann, a so-called New Testament scholar, said we must demythologize the Gospels. This business about demons, they're not really a reality. How's that? About three years ago, the NG Kerk in South Africa. Now, I was in the ministry in the 70s, and I'm always very cautious of Reformed theology. I was in the ministry already in the 70s. Reformed theology shaped apartheid here, and it's amoral and heresy. But what was that thing? I had my. I was there. Demons. Just a while back, about three years ago, they actually formed a committee. But folk, listen. The Holy Spirit is poured out because Christ has done it all. His Spirit has come, and all can receive it. And it's that, the dimension of the Holy Spirit, that makes us different. I remember coming into a meeting. Years ago, I came into a tent meeting. First time in my life I'd ever hear the gospel. The preacher preached out of Luke 12:20, but God said, "You fool, tonight your soul will be required of you." That's Luke 12:20, you can go and check. But God said, "You fool, tonight your soul will be required of you, and who shall these things mean which you have provided?" It's the parable of the rich fool. I was sitting in the second row. I was spellbound listening to this preacher. And he preached about heaven and hell. Oh, I'd just come back from the army. I'd actually been in another country. With that country's citizenship, all their gear, everything. And now I'd come back. And I was sitting listening to this preach. I was spellbound. At the end of the preach, he said, "Who would like some prayer?" I thought, good Christ, someone wants to pray for me, definitely. I need a lot of prayer. Put my hand up. And he said, after a while, he said, "All those that have put their hands up, would they like to come out? And come to the back here, people will pray with you." I was changed that night. Changed that night by the power of God. And I saw, and I actually went from that night. I went 11 consecutive nights. Went 11 nights. 11 nights. I saw the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, night after night. Devils coming out. And it just prepared me, because later in my walk, I would meet Bonga. And his team would fellowship with me. And no one on the face of this earth is speaking to more than him. First, this thing. See this radio mic? Years back, they were metal. First radio mic I ever preached with was his. He's preaching down now. They have about 6 to 8 meetings a year. And they're just trusting for God to break through and bring multitudes to Christ. And I went every night. And I watched, spellbound, as God moved and saved people, delivered people. I watched one night, I'll never forget it as long as I live. I've never knew anything like the reality of demons. and a person came out, brought by someone, and her tongue was out here between her breasts. And they were the equivalent of about 3 bananas. And this preacher just looked at her like this, and this is in full view of everyone. Laid his hands on her like that. And said, "You demon, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I command you to let her go." Instantly, in front of all, this woman's tongue began to contract. Contract. When this tongue had contracted, he turned to the person that had brought her, and he said to her, "Tell me, can she hear?" She said, "Yes, yes." Okay, she said, "Did she hear which name I called upon?" She said, "Yes, the name of Jesus." And she said, "Well, don't you want to give your life to Jesus?" Straight away. Flow in the things of God. God, the Holy Spirit, wants to do so much more for you. He wants to undertake. Do not be weary. He wants to undertake. Touch you. Just move in you more and more and more. Folk, I'm very, very, very clear on this thing about mental blockages. Mental blockages. But Satan would want to hold people down. And the Spirit of God wants to break that stuff. Break it. And release you. There's a massive problem globally. And the psychiatrists and all that whole field of psychoanalytical science, psychoanalysis, all that stuff, folk. I tell you what, some of that stuff is so spooky. It's so spooky. I tell you, I would never go to anyone who just thinks we are soul and body. I'd never go near. Never go near. Let the Spirit of God. Let the Spirit of God. Let us just be quiet. Remember what I said earlier, that God wants to release you. Release you. Anyone with problems in their minds, pain from way, way back. Pain from way back. Just let the Spirit of God just touch you now. Wherever you are, just while you see that you can raise a hand, let God just touch you and meet you. I'm reminded of an old preacher, T.L. Osborne. This is years back. He's done a mighty work for God, T.L. And he used to say to the Lord, he said, "Lord, you know, I'm so weary ministering night after night after night to people individually. I'm weary." So he sensed that the Spirit of God spoke to him and said to him, "Well, do you think I can touch more than one at one time?" He said, "Yes, I know. Of course you can, Lord." He said, "Well, start to do that. Start to do that. Just where you are, just reach out. Let God," especially people, those that lack confidence, who've been put down, damaged. Wherever you are, just let God touch you. And let God lift you up. I was in my brother's church, Sheena's brother's church in London, in Bromley, in January. And we came into the meeting. And I just looked and I saw they were singing, they were going to sing a song. I said nothing. I had a whole lot of songs. I said, "Well, if they pick that, I'm going to move and just start to talk." And Psalm 33:3, the song you'll know, song made popular again by Don Thomas, who came and ministered with us about 30 years ago. "You, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head. You, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head." What on earth is that all about? Well, this is the story. So in the meeting, they start to sing this. So I thought, oh, okay, I think I'll do something now. We'll wait up, we're coming on this. So I came in and I explained what it meant. The lifter of my head. Culturally, this is what's going on. The writer is writing within a Hebrew culture. And when people had serious problems, real problems, they would go to the marketplace. And in the marketplace, they'd walk like this with their heads down. Walk around in a circle with their heads down. And then by doing that, they would be communicating to all and sundry that they've got problems. So here's a guy with his head down, walking around. So now, you see that. If you do this and you walk up to him and you lift that person's chin up, what you are saying to him is that I am the lifter of your head. And I'm going to be with you until you can walk with your head lifted up by yourself. Now, the writer there says, you, O Lord, are the lifter of my head. It's so easy to be cast down. And I tell you, as we shared that, I just spoke and I called a girl out. She actually came, she was from Rwanda. And I just said to my wife, so she knows this is no fabrication. Girl, come out. I said to her, you know what, I've got one word for you. It's abuse. As I said that, she just started to weep. And I said, it's from way, way back. Folk, listen, the Spirit of God's here. He wants to touch you. People with problems in the realm of their minds, be free in Jesus' name. Free, free, free. Be free. What else? What else? What else? What else? What else? What else? What conclude. We go to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. Let them keep playing. Just keep playing. It's good. Matthew 28. Matthew 28. Go to the 18th verse. If you God's child tonight, I take it that everybody here, is everybody here saved? Hold it. Is everybody here saved? Are you sure? Are you sure? I'll tell you what, I'm doing a funeral in the Enge Kerk on the Bluff on Saturday. And a friend of mine died on Wednesday. An attorney, he's got to be one of the brightest guys I've ever met. He just died. It's like a 66 heart attack. Gone. 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 Listen. Imagine never going home. Where God is, where His immediate presence is home. Who would want never to go home? If you don't know Christ tonight, that you are going to live forever is an absolute fact. It's just where and the quality of that life. Either in His immediate presence or wherever God is, or locked out forever. And forever being in decline. Because sin is degenerative, destructive, and a weakening influence in the hell of fire forever with the devil, his crowd, and all other rebels. Remember when God made, Jesus said, Matthew 25:41, that hell was made for the devil and his angels. The sad truth is that all are going to be thrown in there. God doesn't make another place for human rebels. He takes all the rebels and throws them in the same place. Forever in decline. Never going home. Never going home. Never going home. Listen. Ask God to show you what hell is, man. And you wake up, get up and start to speak. Have some authority. Now Matthew 28 from 18. Jesus is speaking and he says this: all authority in heaven and on the earth has been given to me. If Jesus says all authority has been given to me, when he returns, is he going to have any more? No. Why? Why? Are you sure? He's got it all now. All authority in heaven and on earth is given to me. Go you. You go. Doing what? Doing what? Talk to me. Making disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I've committed to you. So the instructor passes on the instruction to those that are instructed so that they will pass on. Pass on, pass on, pass on what Jesus taught. That's why in Acts chapter 2:42, they continued what? In the apostles' doctrine. Whose doctrine? Whose doctrine? It's just after Christ has ascended. So it can't be Paul. Come on. Whose doctrine? In the apostles' doctrine, the chief apostle. And they continued in the apostles' doctrine. And in the breaking of bread and the fellowship and gathered in houses, etc., 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 etc. Do just get it. Let's just stand. Father, I thank you now. I thank you for reviving us, refreshing us. I thank you for reviving us, refreshing us, Lord. And releasing people here into more. Authority, Lord, has been given to us. Jesus, you have all authority. You broke the evil one's power at the cross 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago. And you sent the church out to have authority over all the works of the evil one. I thank you for that now. Just begin to worship God. Just worship Him. Raise your hands and begin to worship Him and be revived and refreshed and know that God has given you authority. His power has come upon you. You will receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So you have authority here, wherever you go. Because remember what we said earlier in John 14 verse 17, He will dwell with you and be in you. Then we said in Acts 1:8, His Spirit will come upon. So it's with. He's with us always. If we are part of God's redeemed community, He's with us always, Father. I thank you for it. Just raise your hands and just begin to worship God.
To do things that would be impossible to do, but you've empowered us by sending your Holy Spirit, and you said the things that you did we would also do, and even greater things because of that authority you gave us. And thank you, Lord, that you've equipped us with the empowering of the Holy Spirit. Just while we were standing here, we're not going to ask if there's folk here tonight who need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You're a child of God. You've committed your life to the Lord. But you don't know if you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. And you want to just come right now. Just come and stand in the front here. And we're going to pray for people in a moment. And then we're going to dismiss the service. But we didn't want to not give an opportunity for people who need to be baptized. See, when we received Christ as our Savior, we received the Holy Spirit. That's how you're born again. As your dead nature is made alive, you receive a new nature. The Holy Spirit comes into you. But there is many occurrences in Scripture where the Holy Spirit then fell upon believers, and there was an empowering that took place. And one of the things that happened often was that they spoke in other tongues. So maybe you've been prayed for the Holy Spirit, but you've never been released in the gifts of the Spirit. For example, praying in tongues. Then this would be a good opportunity to come out, stand in the front. If there's some folk, and then we're going to pray for them. And to anyone else, this is a good opportunity. Just
we see again in Acts 4, as Steve was just saying, the Holy Spirit came again on them and shook the whole place. And the Bible says, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. By implication, many of those in that house, that it's not the whole gathering that was there in Acts chapter 2, but those were part of the chapter 2, but now they're getting filled again. And if you're out here tonight, you're running a bit low or whatever, you can just come out, be filled to overflowing. God, listen, let the life of God flow in and through you. You're a conduit of His life. A conduit of His life. Just come out.
I just want people that are really sensing and feeling the presence of the Holy Spirit on them to come forward, and we're going to gather around the people that are here that are trusting to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We are going to be the conduits. So those that are feeling and sensing the Holy Spirit on them, please, if you can come forward, because we're going to pray for these people. Okay. All right. Can we just have like some more ladies and men? Come on, guys. You want to see the impartation of the Spirit of God reaching deep into these people's hearts, minds, and spirits, just being filled with everything God has for them. And if you're feeling like you don't have the Holy Spirit in you, you should be here receiving prayer.
Praying for these folk up front here. To the rest of us standing, I just want to pray a prayer for you before you leave tonight. I want to pray right now the power of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. The Bible says God is able to do abundantly above all we ask or imagine according to the power that's at work within us. It's not always a power that comes from somewhere else. It's the power of the Holy Spirit living inside us. So I just declare over you, men, women, children, that the mighty workings on the inside of you of the Holy Spirit will empower you with wisdom, with knowledge, with boldness, with faith, and that you would walk in the authority that Jesus has commissioned and delegated to you. And that from your belly a river will begin to flow. From your belly a river of life into your business, into your family, into your spouse, to your children. A river of life will begin to flow as you go into this week, into this month. The anointing of God is abiding in you and will increase in Jesus' name.
Just begin to speak. Don't speak English, don't speak Afrikaans, Zulu, anything else. Just release that which God has given you. That He will give you the utterance. He will give you, the scripture says, and He gave them the utterance, the ability to speak. Just hold on the English, Afrikaans, whatever, and just release it in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Release that tongue. Release that tongue. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. As you give Him the words, Lord, just release Him. In the name of Jesus, begin to speak, my brother. As those words begin to form in you, don't hold back. Don't hold back. It's not gibberish. It's the Spirit of God working through and through you. He's done it down through the centuries. Just release your tongue. There we are. There we are. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
We're going to just continue ministering to the folk here. And then to everyone else, you're welcome to come up for prayer or just sit where you are. Go through to the coffee bar. If we can just keep the volume down a little bit as we are ministering to folk here. Thanks for being with us. God bless. Have a wonderful week. Thanks to John and Maureen. Thanks to John and Tushina for being with us tonight, and God bless you guys.